This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com. I have on the phone with me Michael Wagoner, and Michael, along with his wife Diona, is the president and owner of Cantel Sweeping, which is located in Gresham, Oregon. It is the largest sweeping company in the Portland metro area, and they are the World Sweeper Contractor of the Month for November 2011. Congratulations on that, Michael.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, talk about your company, if you'd provide some background about it. I know you call yourself on your website something like an escaped corporate executive. Tell me how that process worked. You're entering your 18th year, which is about coincidental with the last recession of the 80s that we were in. How did that all play into your decision?
Well, I went to school and college, graduated from Portland State University here, and I'm an accountant by background. I got out of school, and I enjoyed working with numbers. I enjoy working with people also, but coming out of school, I got a job at the biggest bank here in Portland, U.S. Bank at the time, and worked in their accounting area. I enjoyed accounting. I wore a suit and tie every day, took the bus or drove downtown Portland, so I was one of those typical commuters. And I did that for 5 years, and then I switched into the finance area where I would actually borrow money for the corporation. And I enjoyed the wheelings and dealings and the high life, living on an expense account and things of that nature. Then after 10 years, I went to work for Pacific Corps, which is the largest utility in the Portland area here. And I called that my high-risk, high-reward part of my career. But as a risk will entail, after 5 years there, the utility company decided to shut down the operation that I was involved in, and so myself and 300 other people were out of a job. So I went looking around for things. It was a great time in my life in some ways because I was free to explore and meet with anybody that I wanted to, trying to find a job, but it was also a very long time. I went almost a year looking for a job. So it's somewhat reminiscent of what you're seeing in today's industry, today's economy, which is scary, but I also look back at it and call it, in some cases, the best thing that ever happened to me. Because as a result, it caused me to look at not just working for somebody else, but to be my own boss. So I started to... As I was looking for a job, I also started looking for companies that I might possibly be able to own. And it was in 1993, I ran across this company called Cantel. And at the time, they specialized in making barricades and traffic cones and also shoring equipment. But they had a very small little division that did the sweeping, primarily at night. And they were looking to divest themselves of the sweeping part of it. And so I got very interested in the company and found that I could, with a little bit of borrowing from various people and some savings I'd saved up, be able to buy the company and be my own boss. And I still vividly remember telling my wife about it. You have to remember, again, I was wearing a suit and tie every day, working for somebody else, and explaining to her that, I'd buy this sweeping company, and she kind of says, "Are you crazy?"
I bet she did.
Yes.
Plus, you'd be working just during the days, and suddenly you're working night and day.
Yeah. But she loved me enough and trusted me enough that she was willing to take a chance on it. And as I say, looking back at it, it was the best thing ever did to me. When I bought the company, it had 7 employees and 6 trucks, so it was sizable enough to be noticeable and to support Diana and I, my wife Diana. But at the same time, it did present challenges that I had never encountered before. I remember actually one of the funniest things was the first day after I bought it, I woke up in the morning and said, "What am I going to wear?" Because you can't wear a suit and tie when you're operating a sweeping company.
Your wardrobe is outdated suddenly.
Yes, totally outdated. And if you saw me today, you would see a totally different wardrobe. It's much more comfortable, and it was a pretty quick transition. But again, from wearing a suit and tie for 15, 20 years, you don't know what else to wear.
Well, I understand that completely. Most of our listeners don't know all that much about my background, but before I went into business for myself, I was the vice president of marketing for the largest private attorney network in the United States, and wore three-piece suits and flew around on airplanes and met with attorneys, and I was very important. And after about 4 or 5 years, I realized I didn't like suits, didn't like airplanes, didn't like attorneys, so what was I doing? And I've been very glad that that I went the direction I went as well, and pretty much no one has seen me in a suit and tie since. You have a number of things about the way that you operate your business that I think are very notable. For one, you're quite involved with your community. You have, it looks like, a variety of things you've done through the years that are community-oriented. Talk about your commitment in that direction, if you would.
Where we are, Gresham, Oregon, it's actually a suburb of Portland, and Portland, Vancouver area is a fairly decent-sized town, you know, 1.5 million people. But I've been a lifelong resident of Gresham, and so I felt that this is owning a business is a way to help give things back to the community. I'm also a fairly adamant, what I call environmentalist, which is some people think is contrary to what a business owner is, but I totally disagree. Business owners are people just like you and I that just happen to be running a business. And I'm also a born-again Christian who believes that God gave us this earth to take care of, and one of the things that's part of taking care of it is to give back to the community, but also give back to the environment. In the sweeping industry, we are involved in the environment. We actually are, by definition, I think, cleaning up the environment. We are helping remove pollutants that may get into the stormwater system, but it does present a challenge for us because when we sweep up these items that go into our sweeper trucks, we now have to figure out what to do with them. And I know that a number of people in the sweeping business, all they do is put them in the in drop boxes or dump boxes, and then it goes to the landfill. That is an acceptable way of doing it, but I always felt there was a better way of doing it. So what we've developed over the years is I call it a state-of-the-art because we created it from scratch, but it's a state-of-the-art separating system. We bring all our sweeper trucks back to our main location in Gresham here, dump it onto a concrete pad that is covered so that no more rainwater gets in there, and then any water that is in the sweeping unit, it also goes into this drain that then goes to an oil-water separator, and then is sent to the sewer system, so it's not going into the storm water system. Then we take those sweepings, and we send them through a tumbler, again, something we've built from scratch, and this tumbler separates the dirt and rock from the trash. The trash we then further sort by pulling out cardboard and metal and plastic bottles and recycle those. The dirt and rock then we send to a local landfill that's a gravel pit, actually. And then the true trash, we like everybody else, we have to send that to a transfer station that goes to the long-term landfills. But I'm actually pretty proud of the
you bet
operation we put together here.
And I would say that sweeping contractors need to think of themselves as environmentalists and, in fact, in the forefront of environmentalism, of taking the material off the streets and off the off parking lots so that it doesn't get into our waterways. And that's an area that, in fact, if you read my editorial in the newsletter for October, which is about Steve Jobs, but it's also about change and how to recognize it and embrace change. One of the things that I talk about there is, you know, back in 1960, Public Works Director would not have given second thought to the idea of picking up material that's 7 times the width of our hair and smaller as being the important pieces to get off the road. And yet today, that's what's being recognized widely as the material that has to get taken off the streets. And then when you take it one step further, how do you handle it afterwards? How do you dispose of it? What's correct? And so forth. And just to even be thinking about those things and then taking action in whatever is the best appropriate way you can think of is a way for you to distinguish yourself from the rest of your marketplace, the people that are doing things the way they've always been done. It was good enough for then, so that means it's good enough for today. And
tagline I use for my company is to say we want to be the most professional parking lot sweeping company in the industry. And that was back almost 18 years ago. That is the thing that I push to my customers, to my employees, and potential new customers, is that sweeping is not just a thing that happens at night by some guy in his out of his garage and he dumps it in the end of the street somewhere. It needs to be professional. It needs to be treated as a professional process, and the sweeping has to be treated professionally.
Well, I applaud you for doing it in that fashion. Another area of professionalism that you are involved in is with you are a certified sweeping contractor through NAPSA, North American Power Sweeping Association. What was that process like? Are you glad you went through that? Do you think that is making a difference yet?
It was actually, for me, a fairly simple process because I think we were doing almost all the things that were required by it. We've been a NAPSA member for, I think, nearly since the beginning, and so I have been a strong supporter of NAPSA as an organization that is encouraging professionalism in our industry. And so the certified sweeping process is something that I have encouraged and supported since basically the beginning.
Well, good. Tell me what you do besides sweeping.
When I got involved with the company first, we were almost 100% parking lot sweeping. We did try and do a few other things, and striping is something that we've always done a little bit of, but we have added more striping over the years, and it's now about, 6-8% of our business. 90% is still the parking lot sweeping. We don't do any street sweeping here at Cantel Sweeping, primarily because the Portland-Vancouver market is somewhat isolated, and there's really only about 20 municipalities in and around our unit, or in and around our municipality area here. And there's already two fairly large companies that are competing for that business. So I never felt that that was something I wanted to push into because there's really not much enough market to support a third one. But striping is something that we have been pushing, also pressure washing, and we're looking at other potential businesses to expand. But acquisitions have been important to us. I've actually done six over the years. Most of them have been small. One-person operations, somebody wanting to retire, and this is a way for them to cash their chips in and for us to just fold them into our existing system here.
Yeah, it makes sense. You are on Facebook, so that means you're more forward-thinking than most parking lot sweeping contractors at the moment. Do you have any comments about that? Have you found that difficult to navigate or not so much to keep up with saying things on?
Well, to be honest, Facebook was my office manager's idea here, and I don't know that much about it.
Well, so let me talk a little bit about that, because just to have the Facebook page is a plus right now. That just to have the link, whether people use it, that shows a level of, cognizance about what's going on in today's world that, whether you use it a lot or not. There are some ways, certainly, to use it, but it's more difficult in power sweeping. One of the ways is for inclement weather. You can notify whether you're going to be able to go out or not, especially in snow areas, which you're in a snow area. So if people do...
We're very...
real marginal, I know.
It snows every 2 or 3 years here,
yeah.
But it's a madhouse when it does.
Right.
And that is
nobody's ready
for
it.
We have three snowplows that, last year, they sat around and did nothing. this year, I suspect they'll probably have something.
Those are the kinds of things you can talk about, but also, you know, really look for items when you start your Facebook fan page, and we have information about doing that in the parking lot contractors and then internet section of World Sweeper. But you really need to look around at ideas that you can put out on your Facebook page, whether that's something unusual that somebody sees when they're out sweeping, some unusual task that you're doing, the success of a, you know, this person called with some graffiti and we had it off by late this afternoon for them. Just those kinds of things are ways to tout your professionalism and, the, you know, kind of what's going on in your company. Somebody had a baby, somebody else got promoted, you know, somebody else has joined Lions Club. I mean, you can create where people are linked into customers' minds. I mean, they see them once in a while or they talk to them on the phone. It makes them into real people. So those are the kinds of things you can do with Facebook. It's more difficult, certainly, as a sweeping contractor than in lots of businesses that have plenty of things going on. Is there anything else we should talk about in terms of the business? You have how many sweepers today?
We have 18 sweeper trucks and 28 employees.
Have you learned anything that you feel comfortable in passing on about sweeper, you know, maintenance, taking care of a larger fleet as you get larger? I don't know if you have GPS, for example, or if there are tips and tactics that you use to keep your fleet optimized in terms of, you know, what should we keep, what should we not, how do we run our routes? Is it a mix between, you know, twins and singles and tow behinds, or what is your... You know, talk about your fleet,
okay,
if you would.
We've tried to primarily standardize our fleet. Initially, there were Schwartz, and now we've had a couple of Victory sweepers that we're utilizing, but they're still pretty interchangeable. We do have three small, shorter trucks that we do indoors. We do quite a bit of indoor sweeping in downtown Portland area. And then we have three Timco 600s that, for the most part, we call them our leaf monsters, because in Portland here, we do get a heavy leaf fall from about mid-October to mid-December. And they will just, that those leaves will overwhelm our other sweeping fleet. So we will send these trucks out, and they will scarf leaves. They'll just basically take the huge volume of leaves off of a parking lot, and then a regular sweeper truck, regular Victory or Schwartz will come by and finish it up in a few minutes, where it would take them hours and hours and fill up multiple times. So we operate each of our units a little bit differently, but we look at it, we have three separate fleets, a regular outdoor, an indoor, and then the leaf. We try to train our employees to operate any of the trucks, but we do try and keep them in the same truck every night. But you need to have them cross-trained so that if there's a truck out for some reason or somebody's sick and they have to take somebody else's route, they're able to be interchangeable. So we do look at it, try and standardize. I can give you an example. We did buy a Victory sweeper when it first came out that had the little joystick operational, and that was quite easy to use, but we found it was very difficult to cross train. When somebody is never used the joystick before, you can't just throw them in that truck and say, well, here, take it tonight. So what we did is we ended up selling that Victory and bought another Victory sweeper that doesn't use the joystick. So we stumbled our way to learning over the years, improved to making systems so that everybody can do things similar. I always think of the something I learned in college, where McDonald's, one of the things that they first learned when they started expanding is that the ice scooper, they would just, most people would just scoop the ice and set it down somewhere. Well, they kept losing lots of minutes and time of losing the ice scooper, so they taught everybody, you scoop the ice and you put it in put the scooper in the same spot every time. That's what I'm trying to do, is standardize as much as I can in my fleet, as much as I can in the operations. You find that that makes it easier on your employees, but it also makes it easier on the operations.
Well, everyone knows what you expect, and it's the same thing from everybody and
yep.
each and every time. So it really takes away an excuse factor, I would think, because people can't say, oh, I didn't know, or, you know, Joe did it that way, so now I'm doing it that way. So that makes sense. And you are appear to be trying to be kind of the do-everything for your customers in terms of the property manager, where, you know, now you're doing snow, you're doing pressure washing, you know, you're hauling large items, I see on your website, you know, to doing clean-outs for apartments and commercial clean-outs and so forth, and curb stops and bike racks, and, you know, you look like a one-stop shop.
We try to provide for the customer. Ultimately, people quite often get confused saying, well, I do this and I do that. What you're trying to do is you're trying to solve a problem, but you got to determine what the customer's problem is. From the customer's standpoint, I like to think of it, because I did use work in an office and wore a suit and tie, I try and think of it from their perspective, saying, if they've got a problem, they have a broken trash container in a parking lot somewhere, that's their problem. They don't really care how you solve it, as long as you do it for them, and you do it ethically and correctly. They just want to make that phone call and not have to worry about it anymore. And that's also true in sweeping. They just want to hire you and assume you're doing the sweeping. And if you do the job and you give them the service, they're going to be very happy with it. And they'll come back and they'll tell their other property manager friends.
Well, that's one of the things you said I'd like to expand upon a little bit, which is, they just want it to be done, and they want it to be done, you know, ethically and, you know, professionally. And one of the advantages I believe you gain from touting yourself as the most professional in your marketplace, for one, it gives you a goal. I mean, that's our goal, is to be professional. So at every level, your employees can look at this and say, okay, well, should I do this or should I do that? And when the word coming down from the top is you do what is the most professional thing to do, that makes it easy too, especially if management will back an employee if they did something that maybe cost a little more money, but it was professional rather than being, you know, fly by night and so forth.
Absolutely.
And the other aspect of that is that a property manager really wants to know that it's being done right. And being done right has a couple aspects. One is that it's being done correctly, so it doesn't re-break itself right away.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of that is liability, and that is huge. To make sure that you are working with a company that you have an ongoing relationship with, and that you can count on them to do things in such a way that there's not going to be a liability that's going to crop up later, or that if a liability, you know, slip and fall or, you know, some other insurance claim arises, that you'll be able to have somebody such as yourself that would do the work show that you have a track record that's, in, you know, completely in the right direction. So.
Yeah, it's doing the right thing, and the right thing will never hurt you in the long run.
Mm-hmm. I really agree with that. And in today's market, one of the other things that, on your website you have a sustainability logo, or a sustainability section header. That's huge. I think today people want forward-thinking companies that are thinking sustainable and environmental and so forth. You have a Friend of the Trees logo on your homepage of your website, along with your National Federation of Independent Business, your NAPSA logos, your IRM logo. And you don't know what is going to strike a chord with the person that is a prospect out there or with your ongoing customers. And there are a lot, especially where you are in Oregon, I'm just north of you in Washington State, environmentalism is a big thing out west. That because we have plenty left to save out here. It's a beautiful area, and that kind of thing strikes a chord in with many people. So, you know, I applaud you for that as well.
Well, thank you.
Have you learned anything about employees, working with employees, training, gaining new ones, keeping the old ones, anything like that that you'd like to speak about?
Well, actually, there was something I thought about in about this interview, is that this economic situation has changed dramatically our hiring experiences. I would say up until 2-3 years ago, we used to have a reasonable amount of turnover, and excessive turnover can be a problem, but what we're discovering in today's environment is we have virtually no turnover, and that can also be a little bit of an issue, because with turnover, you do get some opportunities for change. And so we're actually trying, the way I'm looking at it, we're trying to adapt and look at how we can manage the same people and yet get different results. And that's a challenge within itself. When you hire somebody new, to a certain extent, you got a clean slate, and you can, it's pretty easy to, or relatively easy to make a change in the way you're doing operations. When you're dealing with the same people, they look at it and say, well, this is how we did it last year. This is how we've always done it. And so it does present a different opportunity or challenge. They're both in the same. But we've also found that, I think sure many people have found that used to be you take out an ad in the local paper to hire somebody, and those can be pretty expensive ads. We've eliminated all that cost. We just take an ad out on Craigslist, and it's $25, and we have no shortage of applicants. And I think the applicants today, that's where they're looking for a job, is on Craigslist or some sort of internet access rather than in the newspapers. Which I'm glad I'm not in the newspaper business.
Well, that's true.
A hurting business.
And so, there's a different quality of employees that are going to be forward-thinking enough to be involved to look on the internet, I think, as well.
Yes, I agree with that.
Is there anything else that you feel we haven't talked about? We've covered a lot of bases here. Is there anything else that you'd like to speak to, or do you think we've done it?
No, I think we pretty well covered what we want to talk about, and I appreciate the opportunity to be elected as your contractor of the month. Thank you.
Well, you're certainly well qualified to do that. I try not to have just the biggest companies and to show a range of companies, but I really enjoy, and I think we all learn the most when you do have a leader in a particular marketplace and somebody who has the experience of, you know, almost 2 decades behind them. I have seen some of the most successful of the sweeping companies be from with white-collar background and training, and it is so powerful to be able to take good business methods and have that as your underpinning when you march into a low-tech business like this. And it's easy to see that you have capitalized on that and have really made a difference. You have a nice website. It's well done, lots of components, and it sounds like the business matches it perfectly. So,
well, Ranger, there is probably one other thing I would be remiss if I didn't say, and that was to thank my wife for keeping me level-headed through this. As I said in the very beginning, she asked me if I was nuts trying to go into this, but she has definitely kept me from making the big mistakes. It's okay to make the little mistakes, but she keep me humble, which is good. Thank you, Diana.
I can't think of a better place to leave it.
Okay.
We've been speaking with Michael Wagner, and Michael and Diana are the owners of Cantel Sweeping from Gresham, Oregon, and in that, I think, Portland and Vancouver, Washington metro areas. They are the World Sweeper Contractor of the Month for November 2011. Very well deserved. Thanks again.